So
hey guys.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, you're listening to Snacks and Chats. I'm Lani.
I'm Ben.
And we have Jess B with us.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Are you enjoying your Wonka's?
Wonka licorice twists. Mm. The best lolly that was ever invented. So yes, I'm enjoying them very much. These will all be done by the time we're finished.
And good. There's the sound of crisps as well. What are they?
Dorito.
Classic. Very niche.
Sweet Thai chili. Yeah. Less specific.
Mm, very niche.
Nice. Underground.
Mm. So, Jess.
Hi.
Hi. When people ask you where you're from, what do you tell them?
I usually will say Auckland. And then if they persist, I'll say New Zealand. And if they persist, I usually give in the end, but I like to play it out for a little bit.
Mm.
So if people are genuinely curious, then I'll tell them. I have no problem with telling people where I'm from. So, but usually I'll start with Auckland because that's where I'm from. So, yeah.
And where do you rep in Auckland?
Central. Grew up in like Mount Roskill, Mount Albert area. And still living central. So, yeah, CA all day.
And so when people persist and you say New Zealand, and then what do usually people say when you say New Zealand?
Where your parents from is the classic, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, at that point I'm just like, oh, my dad's Kenyan and my mum's Pākehā. So usually it's a pretty quick combo, but it does get repetitive because then I get that, oh, I thought you were Fijian, I thought you were English, I thought, you know, and it keeps going. And I'm just like, yeah, no, I've heard it a million times.
Mm. And then, yeah, and is that when the conversation, and you're like, okay, cool, so now you know.
Anyway.
Is there any follow-up questions you have
for that? No, they don't care after that. They're like, okay, bye.
Okay, later.
Why are you black? Okay, bye, thank you.
Growing up in central Auckland with, I imagine that would have been a question you got a lot as a kid?
Yeah, overwhelmingly. So it was, because I think what happened was I grew up with a lot of like Māori and Pacific Islanders around me, but I didn't fit, they couldn't quite place me in any of those groups, and I definitely wasn't white. So the question came up, and usually people tried to place me themselves, so I got like Fijian a lot. So yeah, I guess people were just curious, or they'd never really seen anyone like me before. There definitely wasn't many mixed race like Africans or like Africans even in Auckland when I was growing up, I guess. There's more now, but at the time we were all very spread out, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so did you find you personally gravitated towards Pacific Islanders and Māori, or was that just kind of because that's where people placed you?
I think, well, I played netball, so, I mean, I've grown up with like a mixed bag of people around me my whole life, but my I was adopted, so my entire family in New Zealand is white. So naturally I actually gravitated to like white kids more than I did because of the way I was brought up at home and stuff. But I think as I started getting older and I wanted to have, you know, friends who were like me, naturally you're just going to go towards people who have similar, I guess, experiences, even if they're not culturally the exact same. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that would have been a little bit confusing growing up, I suppose. You, as you say, like you naturally gravitate, your family's white and stuff, so there's that white side of you, but were you also like, there's part of this that isn't, that I don't relate to, or?
Yeah, I think I struggled heaps. Probably as a kid, I was like pretty blissfully unaware of it being a massive deal, but it was probably when I got into high school and different things start coming up and, you know, identity starts to become a thing that kids are exploring. And for me, it was very hard to like myself. Like I found like I was quite lost for a little while there, like in terms of, you know, liking who I was because I didn't have any representation around me that I could pull from. And yeah, I guess I'm blessed now. I have a lot of people around me, who, you know, girls of African descent and all sorts, and we all kind of have had similar experiences growing up, so it definitely wasn't something that I went through alone, and not something that just, you know, mixed kids have either. I think it's quite a widely, you know, non-feeling, but yeah, it sucks.
You talk about looking around and not being able to pull from, I guess, yeah, not seeing people representing you. Did you find that eventually, or who did you look to as a teen as you were trying to figure that out?
Well, hip hop, really. Yeah. Like, I mean, there was no representation in New Zealand in our, you know, like on TV or in music here. So I naturally, yeah, just started listening to hip hop, and that was where I kind of looked up to people and, you know, like style and all those things. Yeah. And then I guess as I've gotten older, I've had friends around me who are amazing, and, you know, so we all kind of vibe off each other too. So it's cool. Yeah.
Mm. So that would have been a natural progression then into what you're doing now.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because, like, I never really thought of it like that until, like, retrospectively I look back and I'm like, yeah, that's definitely how it went, and that's why I got into it and why I enjoyed it from the get-go. I think it was always to do with, you know, like being part of something that I felt like I could be a part of without really any second looks.
Mm.
I think, yeah.
Just seeing yourself in that.
Yeah, yeah. And because, like, people who did hip-hop were dope and they were, you know, cool and hot and styly and all that. So it was kind of like for me, it was a positive, like, representation of, like, people of colour, like, and creative as well, you know, like a way to express yourself. So, yeah.
And so when people ask you what you do, what do you tell them?
Say I'm a rapper.
Yeah, you do?
I mean, I did play netball for a long time, so there's, like, a lot of ties, like, to my life as a netballer, so people often ask me about that stuff. But now I've, like, I would have said, probably in my day, I would have said, you know, I play sport, I play netball or whatever, but now I'm, like, now I'm a rapper, I'm a musician, I'm an artist.
And how long did it take you to be comfortable or confident in that being your answer?
It's funny you say that, actually, because a little while. I think it's definitely got, like, it doesn't have the same ring to it for a lot of people as saying you're a singer or, you know, a musician or whatever. So I kind of had to learn to be a bit unapologetic about that, because it's definitely something that people are like, oh, all right, you know, like, or they don't expect to hear it, or if they do, they're like, not, I don't know, it's not the first thing that they'd be, like, stoked about.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
That is a good question. I guess it's just negative connotations around what rap is to some people, maybe. I mean, like, obviously, like, when I talk to, like, young people, they don't care. It's more, like...
Yeah, older.
Older, yeah. Older people, I guess, yeah.
No, I just think that's interesting because, yeah, you talk about how positive rap and hip-hop has been in your life, being able to see that representation of yourself, how positive that's been for you in your life. But, yeah, there's always that negative connotation attached to it. I just think that's...
Yeah, yeah. No, it is buzzy. I mean, people to pick and choose from stuff what they want to, though. So, like, I mean, if you're only ever going to look at the negative side, then I guess that's all you're going to ever see. But I mean, there's negative sides to everything. Like,
yeah.
And there's negative sides to hip-hop that I think are fucking stupid and, or, you know, derogatory towards women, like, all that sort of thing. But at the same time, there's a lot of good to be taken from it. So that's what I kind of draw on anyway, I've always drawn on. Yeah.
Do you know much about your Kenyan side then, since you grew up?
Well, I went back actually for the first time in December, which was pretty fucking crazy for me. Huge. I mean, I knew it was going to be a culture shock, and I prepared myself for that. But I think I hadn't prepared myself for, like, all these other things that popped up while I was there. Like, I would kind of... you know, growing up here, I've never really felt like I've fit in. I mean, I do now more so than ever, but I always felt like going back to Kenya, I was finally, no one was going to stare at me or ask me those questions, and I was just going to fit in and be, like, that was going to be my place where I'd feel cool. Well, not cool, but, like, chill or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I got there and people stared at me even more than they do here because I'm mixed, and so my skin is so pale compared to theirs. So I was stared at and asked those questions just as much as I was here. So, like, that sort of thing was pretty, like, hard to deal with, but it was awesome, such an awesome opportunity. It's, like, really important to, like, go back to where you're, you know, where you're from and connect with the, you know, like, the country. So I'm glad I did it, and I want to go back again. I was just, like, yeah. It was pretty mind-blowing, the whole experience, yeah.
What did you learn about yourself from going there?
Well, probably that was the biggest learning. I just kind of realised that for me, there's probably never going to be a here nor there, you know, like there's never going to be somewhere where I'm going to fit completely. So I kind of just have to make my own lane, like, or, you know, like just be comfortable in the fact that I am mixed and I am not white and I'm not, you know, black, but I'm me, I'm whole and I am who I am. I think that was a really, really big learning for me. Like I reflected on that quite a bit, but also just, you know, I mean, our perspectives here of what life is fucked. Like, met so many cool, happy people over there. Just like little, you know, ways of life and things that are just so, I feel like we get lost in the sauce a bit here. Like there's simple as things that we don't like take into consideration that over there is just day to day stuff.
Like what?
Just like taking time, just, or, you know, just sitting with yourself, or, you know, we're so busy over here. Like, I literally, like, I have hardly been home today, you know? Like, I just go from one thing to the next and then I get home and I do it again. So it's, like, important to just take time to sit with yourself and, like, reflect on stuff, because otherwise you can't learn or you can't be satisfied with what you're doing. So all those sorts of things, like, came up and, yeah, but I had so much fun. Like, it was, yeah, it was awesome. It wasn't intense the whole time. It's just a lot of intense reflection going on, like, at the same time. It was cool, man. The food is mean. People are mean, weather's mean. Yeah, it was cool.
And so when you came back to Auckland, did it feel more like home for you?
I was definitely happy to get home. But I think, I mean, I guess because I grew up here, Auckland will always be, or New Zealand will always be home to me. But I just started to see the importance of, like, having those ties back to where you're from and making sure that you keep them, you know, you don't shut off from them, because they're such a big part of who you are, and all your ancestors and stuff, you know, who were from, well, for me, from Kenya. I didn't want to lose that.
Yeah.
But it was a long time coming. It took me, you know, 20 years to actually want to go back and want to do that. So it was pretty cool.
Why did it take you so long, do you think?
I think because I spent, you know, so much of my teenage years, like, you know, not wanting to associate myself with that part of me. I just wanted to be white, or I wanted to be, yeah, I honestly didn't want to have anything to do with it. But I think as soon as I started becoming interested in that stuff, like, I feel like I'm so much more, like, grounded and, like, happy in who I am. So it was important. I think it just kind of had to happen as it did. Because if I'd gone before that, I don't think I would have been ready, like, to have all those experiences. So, yeah, I feel like it all happened at the right time for me personally, yeah.
So when you go back, do you already have in mind sort of more things that you want to learn and connect with?
Yeah, I'd really love to go and spend a bit more time. Like, so I went to Kenya and I spent a few weeks with some family, but I didn't go back to visit, like, the tribe that I'm actually from. It was more like a general trip. Yep. So I'd really love to go back to where my ancestors are actually from and connect with people from the Maasai tribe, because that's where my father's side's from. Yeah. So that'd be dope. And I don't know, maybe my birth father's still over there, so maybe I can meet him. But I don't know. That's a whole nother
thing.
Kettle of fish, yeah.
Yeah. Shall we just leave there? Shall we?
Dramatic pause. Stay tuned.
Because I haven't, I mean, like, so I spent my childhood in Rauru and I never felt like I belonged there. And then I moved to Napier, which was, like, super white.
Yeah.
I never felt like I belonged there. And I've been to Samoa, which is where I'm from. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm Samoan, but I'm a total tourist here.
Yeah.
So for me, when I came to Auckland and it was just all these urban islanders, that's when I felt, I was like, yes, I'm finally home here.
Yeah.
But on top of that, I thought, like, when I finally connected with the rap community, that also felt like home as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really cool, so many different ethnicities and stuff have been able to come and, like, mingle. And
yeah,
I feel like the Auckland, like, rap scene is really cool now too.
Yeah.
And people can find their home in that if they haven't found a home elsewhere. Do you feel like that as well?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. For me, really, this whole this whole process of like, you know, like, guess not finding myself, but, you know, being comfortable with this and proud of myself and who I am, that started, you know, the majority of it, you know, kind of started happening for me when I really got into the rap scene and like creative scenes and stuff. There's just so much diversity and so much freedom to just be you. And like, that was really beneficial for me, and it's probably half of the reason why I'm still, you know, why I really decided I wanted to do this. Like, I've met so many cool people in the last couple of years. Like, just real people, interesting people, talented, you know, and it's been so cool.
And it sounds like from what I've, like, previous stuff I've read of yours, everyone's been really welcoming, right?
Like, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Everyone's been so supportive of, like, me as an artist, yeah, and respecting me, you know, with no other kind of agendas behind it. Like, it's always been about the music, and not the fact that I'm a female or mixed or whatever. It's always been about, like, how good you spit, really. Well, that's what I felt anyway, which is cool because, you know, it's important to feel like that. Like, I don't really want to be recognized because I'm a woman. I want to be recognized because I'm a fucking good rapper, you know? Like, yeah. And yeah. Even though they come hand in hand, and probably, to be fair, a lot of the opportunities I've had have probably come because I am one of the only, you know, women popping off at the moment. But it's cool to get away from that as well and just, you know, be seen as a peer or, you know, as opposed to, I don't know, some charity case or something. I don't know. We have to have a female kind of thing. It's like, nah, she's here because she deserves to be.
Yeah, well, we get tokenized. Totally. I don't even know if that's a word, but yeah. We get tokenized enough as it is, right?
Like, yeah. I just want to be one of the boys, man.
There's, like, I've noticed, especially over the last few years, it's been getting so much better. What I've been really stoked about is how stoked other people are in seeing women rappers, like, not just locally, but, like, you know, how crazy people are going over Cardi B or whatever, you know, like, but that's what I thought, that's what I was real happy about when you did your 64 bars, just how excited people were. Like,
I honestly thought I was going to get shat on, like, I thought people were going to be real haters, but everyone was pretty positive, like, overwhelmingly so.
Yeah.
Which is really encouraging for me. And yeah, like you're saying, it's so cool. Like, I feel like there's definitely been a shift in the culture towards accepting and celebrating, like, female MCs. Like, there's so many cool female artists at the moment that are getting shined, like, and they deserve to. They've always deserved to. But I think more so now than ever, they're getting their shot, like, and they're getting, you know, like, even, like, Northern Bass, you've got, like, Nadia Rose and, like, Princess Nokia. Both of them, like, you know, they're coming out here. That's a pretty big feat for both of them to come from the other side of the world and do their thing here. But not only that, but, like, have people excited and want to go and see them. Yep. So I think it's cool. It's looking good. We're heading in the right direction.
Your New Year's is looking pretty stacked.
Mate, it's looking hectic. I can't wait. Yeah. No, I'm excited for the summer, eh? Quit my job, just trip around, something like that. Yeah, it's been pretty big year for me. It's been awesome.
Yeah, so you currently work a 9-to-5.
I do, but you sadly
don't want that to last forever.
I would not like that to last forever, if possible. I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do, but would love to get out of there. And I mean, like, even, you know, like, I'm not opposed to work, obviously, but I just like it to be more in line with what I'm doing, you know, as opposed to uninspiring office work. It's, you know, everybody knows that slog. It's not that fun. So, and just having more time to be creative, I think, for me is a big thing too.
Where does that creativity happen at the moment?
In my bedroom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm quite, like, have to be quite settled and grounded for me to, like, write well. Like, I'm not someone who can just, like, write in the car or in wherever. I've got to be, like, in a zone and in a space and in a mindset too, because you have to be in it to, like, really to make good quality stuff. So yeah, just in my room, and then I transfer over to my little shitty mic and make demos and
How much feedback do you still get from P-Money, or how much, like,
heaps? I pretty much send all my demos through to him, and I mean, like, we've been working, like, you know, real closely on with this EP that I'm doing at the moment, so, like, pretty much everything I do, like, he at least has a, like, you know, has a word in or has an opinion about it, mm-hmm. which is cool. That's been, like, invaluable, really. Like, it's been so, so, so important for me in my development to have someone like him to bounce off. So, yeah, he's a cool dude.
I imagine it's important. I mean, it's cool to have people believe in you, your mates and all that or whatever, but it must be very valuable to have someone who you've already seen make a living off it or whatever. Like, I imagine yeah. there's some probably some, like, business advice as well as totally. Musical advice he can give you.
Yeah. He's pretty much taught me, like, I reckon, like, 90% of what I know, to be honest. Like, and, you know, like, even when we hang out, we talk about music and we talk about all sorts of, like, stuff just to do with, like, the industry and, you know, all sorts of different things. And, like, little bits of advice have definitely stuck with me, like, over the time that I've known him. So it's been really cool.
What's one of the best bits of advice he's given you?
I was talking to him about one of the sets I was doing. I was opening for, I think I was, when I was opening for Stormzy, I was putting together my set list and I was kind of like freaking out because I was like, oh my God, like Stormzy is a grime artist. Like, I'm not a grime artist. Like, what the fuck, what songs do I pick kind of thing? Mm. And I was like, should I try and, you know, do this or that? And he was like, nah, man, like, you just got to be, you've got to be who you are all the time because, like, at the end of the day, that's what people are going to, you know, connect with. And, like, if you're not yourself here and there, you know, like, it's, you need to stay in your lane so that the people who like you will pick up, are getting the real you all the time. Yeah.
When they go find you, that's the person they remember.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And I was kind of like, at that point, I was like, oh yeah, like, that's so true. Like, and so I just did my, you know, I did my set and, like, I was happy with it. Like, so that was cool. Like, he gives me heaps of advice like that. He probably doesn't even know that shit sticks, but.
Yeah.
He's quite, like, you know, he's quite chill with it all and he just, like, he's just kind of, we talk all the time. Like, he'd, like, I'll just text him, like, questions or, like, you know, if I've got stuff that I want to ask him or whatever. He's always, like, always there to, like, answer or give me advice or whatever. So it's been cool. It's been really cool.
I like that you got Shaki to be your hype woman.
That's me, mate. Yeah, my hype lady. Yeah, hard. That was awesome. I love her, right?
I was like, that's just perfect. I know. Like, of course.
There was something about me and her together, eh? Like, we can kind of just, like, match each other's energy. So it was a fucking crack-up experience. It was so good. But, like, also, like, I'm, like, low. I'm serious as. Like, I want a hype girl. Like, I want a female DJ. So, like, if you're in it, then, you know, strap in because let's go kind of thing. So she enjoyed it and, you know, it's been cool. There's a couple of people asking about her afterwards. Of course. That half queen, eh?
Talking about, going back to what you're saying earlier, like growing up and stuff and not being able to see yourself and other people, not being able to see yourself represented, it must be very cool to know that there are little kids from backgrounds similar to yours that are growing up and they're going to be able to see themselves represented in you now and, like, the rest of the African Kiwi community making music and stuff.
That's a massive, for me, that's a massive motivator. Like, I remember saying this quote and it's like, be the person that you needed when you were growing up. And I definitely needed someone like that. Like, I actually met a girl last night. She's 14 and she came up to me and, you know, like, we were just talking and she's Zimbabwean and Brazilian girl and she was born here, you know, so she's just like me. And I could tell it meant heaps to her to just be talking to me. And, like, I think it's so cool. Even if, because, I mean, sometimes, like, you know, you vibe with people not necessarily because of their music but because of the person they are or what they give you as a personality or someone to look up to. And, like, even in itself, like, if that is what someone's getting out, like, if someone doesn't like my music but they can still take, motivation or something out of me doing what I do, then that's fucking choice as. I'm stoked with that.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. Funny you bring that up because it only happened last night. But, yeah, stuff like that just kind of brings me back down to earth a bit and I'm like, yo, like, that's real humbling for me.
Was that something you sort of thought about much before or was it?
I've definitely thought about it before. Yeah, heaps. I'd love to get to a position where I can work with, like, kids and, like, music and all that sort of thing. But in particular, I know that now there is more of, like, an African presence or community in New Zealand. It's really important to have those representations across the board and let alone like, you know, you need a female one even more so. So for me, it's always definitely been something in the back of my mind. Yeah.
Mm. Like you were talking about the hip hop community and stuff. Is there like a little like African community within itself that you guys ever, I don't know, like discuss this sort of shit?
Oh, yeah. Like a lot of my friends that I've made, like my close friends that I've made in the last year have been, you know, like from that scene, but also of African descent. And we have those conversations all the time. And not just, you know, not just with African people, but just with, you know, women of colour in general. Like, we have heaps of discussions about that, and we, you know, create safe spaces for each other, hold space to, like, talk about these things or, like, you know, raise your, like, concerns or worries. So it's been really, like, rewarding for, like, all of us to connect, you know, in that way.
When you perform and stuff, has it ever felt not safe for you?
No. Yeah. No, I don't think I've ever felt unsafe performing.
Or, like, uncomfortable or whatever, like...
I think most of the crowds that I've performed to have been very, you know, pretty welcoming or like open, open to the idea, maybe is a better way of saying it. Yeah. I mean, when I was down in Wellington for Stormzy, I mean, that crowd was like, I'm going to like probably 90% male and 99% Pākehā. So like, you know, like, but they fucking loved it. They were rowdier than the Auckland crew.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, for me, it's more about the way that things are received or, like, the energy that's been given off as opposed to the actual group of people I'm performing to. But obviously, like, it would be so sick to perform, like somewhere like Afropunk. Like, that's definitely a dream of mine. Like, that would be unreal, you know? And an experience that I think, like, we would never be able to get in New Zealand, performing to a crowd like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're working on your EP.
Yeah.
When do you expect that to be done? Or what's the goal? What's the goal
That's
date?
The million-dollar question, mate.
Well, if you're quitting your job, you need...
Before the end of the year, let's say that.
Like, out or done?
I swear to God, I thought it was going to be March, but it's just... I don't know. The music, this music thing seems to be real slow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, before the end of the year. So hopefully, like, I don't know, November. It's pretty much, it's done. It's all done. There's just certain things we have to roll out before it actually drops. Like, I'm trying to build, like, some sort of, like, following or, like, anticipation for it. Like, if I just dropped it when it was done in March, no one would have gave a fuck. Like, you know what I mean? So, there's kind of, you know, so I've put the first single out, got the second one coming out in a couple of weeks, and then I got funding for another one, so then that's going to, you know, it's like kind of like we've got a little plan underway, so I've got to stick to it. But, mate, everyone keeps asking me, like, so when's your EP dropping? And I'm like, oh, fuck no, like, I've always been, I think I've been a little bit weird with my music taste and, like, the beats I would naturally go for. Like, I kind of, I don't really have a name for it, but I definitely like, I definitely like old school kind of vibes and beats, but like with a new school kind of like I like things to sound modern. Like, I don't want to make a song that sounds like it came out in 1998. You know what I mean? I'm trying to make a song that sounds like it came out in 2017.
You want it to...
But I still want it to have like, I don't know, like early 2000s have like, you know, like early Missy, like 50 Cent, like Busta Rhymes. They got like a certain hop to them, like a groove. And I've always gravitated towards that sort of music. So for me... I guess I've just been trying to find my lane somewhere within those inspirations, but still making it my own. I'm just gonna do me. Like, I don't know. And I think hopefully people like it. I don't really know, but we're gonna find out, aren't we? All this shit chat, and then like the EP comes out, no one cares. Like everyone's like, next. Nah.
They're like, oh,
nah. It's gonna be hot.
So does that mean? I mean, a lot of that would be on the producers you choose to work with then. Is it just Pete or is it...
No, I've worked with a couple. It's mostly been Pete just because he's, like, the best producer in New Zealand. That's pretty cool, you know? But he's been real cool with, like, kind of making beats that I... Like, I kind of... He's gotten to know what sound I like, so he makes beats that are kind of catered to me in that way. Which has been really, really cool. Because otherwise, because my sound is so weird, it is actually really hard to find producers who are making beats that fit that kind of sound that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
because a lot of them either sound real old school or they sound real new school, like real trappy or real like whatever. So for me, it's hard to find a niche for myself, but one that people give me beats that I like. Yeah.
Do you dabble in producing at all?
Nah, I just haven't had time in my life, but I'd actually like to. I think that's kind of like the key for me to being able to do, like, if I can do that, then it doesn't matter. You know, I can, even if I'm shit, I could just put something down.
And then someone could.
And someone could finish it off or help me kind of make it come to life. So that's on my goals list.
Yeah. What else is on your goals list?
Play Afropunk is probably my biggest musical goal. But I mean, yeah, I'd love to take my music to London or New York or LA, like, and do some stuff there. Like, I'm not really trying to, I don't really want to say that I like want to be like Nicki Minaj, like but I would be real happy to have some like a core following that, you know, reaches internationally, and I could go do stuff overseas,
like a Princess Nokia type thing.
Yeah, she's definitely killing it, and she's kind of that in the underground scene, but she's got enough of like that kind of core following that she's like making a living off it, you know, and making a killing.
And so, it's real. It's not some hype. Just radio stuff, right? It's like real people.
And I think, exactly, and I think with Princess Nokia as well, it's like she's such an awesome person in, along with her music, so people just like her as a human being as well, which is cool. So yeah, something in the middle like that would be dope. I'd love to collaborate with some cool people like her. Or, I'm kind of just riding the wave at the moment.
Yeah, I saw that you mentioned the importance of writing down goals, because then you get to cross that shit off when you when you make it.
Yeah.
Which I imagine you would have been doing a lot of recently.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's been buzzy actually. This year I've crossed quite a few off, but people was just like, you need to make bigger goals, like, you know,
move the goalposts.
Yeah, but I mean, all of them have been like quite monumentous for me. Like, they've been like, you know, I've like had a couple of moments where I've been like, fucking yo, like, you know, like I've wanted to do this for so long, I'm now I'm doing it, you know. Like, so yeah, and I mean, playing at Northern Bass or and R&B were like massive ones for me, like, on that same caption, I think I wrote like, the last time I went to R&B, I was literally like, I'm not coming back till I perform.
Yep.
And like, now it's happening. So it's crazy. That shit's crazy. Like, you know, like I was like running around in R&B, like, you know, and now I'm going to be on a stage. So
you're peaking, running around.
Yeah, man.
Chewing your face off.
Being a little shit. I was always respectful though. You can be naughty, but you don't have to be a dick, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, like I, it's for me, it's huge. And I feel like they're happening, and everything's happening, and at the time and in the right order, you know. Like, I feel like I'm ready to do that. It's not like I'm.
Yeah, you know? You've been gigging in Auckland. You've been doing shows. You're not just gonna.
Yeah, I'm not winging it. Well, yeah. I'm winging it, but like it's like, you know, slightly prepared winging, I feel. Got a few under my belt.
Is there any advice that you'd want to impart, knowledge that you'd like to impart on any listeners?
Snacks are good for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Always snack. Keep your snack intake up all the time.
Yeah.
But nah, I'd say I'm real serious about my snacks. If you did not know this, it's so funny that you asked me to do this, because I'm like, yo, snacks is my fucking shit, and I want to have my own line of snacks.
How good are they?
Snacks, man. Good, like, honestly, man. I want to start like a snack blog where I like test snacks.
Do it.
And I
want to
have like snack merch.
Your mate and, like, Court used to do a lot.
Me and Court would have been perfect. But even like, because, you know, Shaq is a big snack fan too, and we were thinking, you know, Shaq's Snack Shack.
Oh yeah. And
at shows.
Already got a good name.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
Do it.
And have some custom made Jess B.
Snacks.
I'm not to be confirmed what those are.
Or curated, just be curated snacks.
Yes, it'll just be flavors I like and shit.
There you go.
Snack degustation.
Mm. Yeah, something like that, eh? Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, speak to anyone. Like, I'm real serious about this shit. I want to actually make a shapes flavor. So shout out to Arnott's. Hook us up. Like, if I can get some promo or like some, you know, samples for the tour.
Yeah, yeah. I'll, they like, listen to this podcast.
I will talk
yeah,
about
they definitely them.
Definitely
they,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Hard out. And same shout out to Doritos. Yeah,
shout out Doritos. Shout out Heineken.
Oi, hard.
Shout out Willy Wonka.
Shout out Wonka's Raspberry Twists.
Shout out,
Hi Chews.
Puchoy or Pucho or whatever. Yeah, fuck, I don't know. Shout out these Japanese lollies.
Yeah, all that. I would talk about this shit on stage. I would take 5 minutes on my set and I'd be like, go and buy Arnott's Shapes.
Shout out Whitaker. Straight up. Shout out Coke.
I'd also be so fat, but you know what?
Hey, I've seen you in your undies. You're all right.
Yeah, I don't have a sponsorship from Arnott's yet. That's why. You wait. But yeah, no, I'd just say, in terms of advice, I'd say be yourself. Like, people don't buy into the fake shit. Like, so it's better to just be your authentic self. Be what makes, you know, be and do what makes you happy. Be a good person. You know, help out other people. Be respectful, and like, things that you want will come your way. Like, I think it's all about what you give out, you know, to the universe, then you kind of get it back. So yeah, I'm all about just being a nice person. Just, you know, like, it's not hard to.
It goes a long way.
Yeah, it's not hard to be friendly, or, you know, to say hi when, you know, if someone comes up to you or whatever. For me, and like, I hope that I can, you know, like, keep that with me, because like, I'm just a people person, so I just love it. Yeah.
Cool.
Be yourself.
Be yourself.
Be your true self.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And eat snacks.
And eat fucking snacks, yeah. Honestly. Like, I mean, like, if you got to do what you got to do, go to the gym or whatever too, but like,
eat more snacks.
Eat more snacks.
Eat more snacks.
Go to the gym so you can eat more snacks.
Yeah.